Okay. The agenda for the Poppin' Building Workshop is at the entrance. So right now, Mr. Dave.
Thanks. Again, my name is Dave Snyder. I'm the project manager for the Riverfront Revitalization Project. The city of Apalachicola was granted a fund from the Department of Economic Opportunity, now the Florida Commerce. That's correct, Bree. And we were selected to do the Riverfront Revitalization Project. A piece of that is what to do with the Popham Building. Our team with half is Brett Hammond is an architect, and he is handling the Popham Building for us. I'm going to let him sit for a few minutes and recover after his talk on the African American Museum. Also with me today is Josh Hall from Garlic Environmental. They'll be handling all the permitting work for the Riverfront project. If you bear with me for a second, I'd like to just give Brett a little bit of a break and. From a 50,000-foot level, just go over the Riverfront Revitalization Project. We basically have two sets of plans. Actually, we're going to have a third set of plans because we're going to have to move the Popham Building out into its own set of plans, and Brett will go over that with you in a few minutes. But the actual project involves pier and deck reconstruction along Scipio Creek. You see plan set number one. We go all the way from Waterfront, Water Street Seafood, all the way over to Andrews Pier. We're basically rebuilding what was out there. A lot of it is in pretty poor shape, but we've got about 50% plans done with the. With the pier and dock work out there on Scipio Creek. The second set of plans. Hold on a second, we'll get this back up here. It did. There's a way to make that. There it is. Yeah, it makes it a little bit easier. But you can see along Scipio Creek, on the top of the map, Water Street Seafood. You need that 14-year-old kid. There you go. That looks good, Travis. There you go. Yeah, I'm just all the way. Water Street Seafood, some pier and dock work there. Scipio Creek Marina has a little bit of pile work that needs to be done. Water Street Hotel has some miscellaneous things that we're fixing there at JV Gander. The former Coast Guard building there, we're going to rebuild that dock there. We're going to take out the old Appalachian fire station, and in the steel in that building is great, and Travis wants me to tell the contractor to take that apart so we can put it back together someplace else as a nice storage facility for whatever the city needs. You can see the Popham Building down there at the bottom, and Brett will be up to talk to you about that in a second, and then the Anders Pier will be reconstructed. I've got 50% plans done. I'll be back here on July 10th with some of our technicians to make sure that what we got in the plans is correct, so we can go from 50% to 95% plans on the piers and get the permit work going. The second set of plans will be Water Street, Commerce Street, and 4th Avenue, a beautification. We'll connect the sidewalks. We'll do some landscaping. We'll put a couple more lights out there. Make it a walkable community, a little bit more walk friendly, all the way from Battery Park up Water Street to the Water Street Hotel. And that set of plans is just kind of getting started. I'm still getting some of the survey from our survey out of Sop Choppy, but we'll knock those plans out pretty quick and get things rolling. Then the Popham Building, you can see, is in plan set number two. But based on what Brett's going to tell you here in the next few minutes, we're going to have to move that Popham Building because it is an expensive piece of work, and we have a limited amount of funds to do the street beautification and the pier work. With that, yeah,
We've just been waiting 6 years, and I'd ask Travis to have an update, and I'm so happy you're giving us this little tiny bit, because we have no knowledge of what's been done to date.
I'd like to have a workshop, at least with the streetscape beautification. The pure work is kind of rebuilding timber docks out there that have been destroyed. But when we get to the surveying, and we get to lay out the sidewalks and do the landscape and get some nice amenities, benches, things like that, we'll have a workshop and get your feedback on that too, so we can include those in the final plans for the streetscape work.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Did everyone, all the commissioners, did you have an opportunity or take the opportunity to reach out to Brett to talk to them prior to this meeting? Okay, I want to make sure everybody had that opportunity to do that. Okay,
right.
Thank you.
So the gist of the meeting today, this afternoon, the workshop this afternoon, is for the Popham building. So Brett, if you could come back up, and we're on Brett's team for the African Museum for the Civil War, and we've got Brett on the team for the Popham building, so we're kind of working together on a lot of things here.
Just so I understand the relationship, are you contracted through Gores to do the work? Is that just
the engineering firm that Gores helped the city contract. So Gores is grant admin, Hoff is engineering, and Brett is a sub under Hoff.
Gotcha.
Got it?
Thanks.
Okay, sure.
Thank you again, Dave. And as he said, they are the prime on the streetscape, and we are the architects for the one minor component of the Popham building. And then we hired Dave to act as the civil engineer for the African American Museum. Well, I wanted to come to you before, and we were very grateful to have the opportunity to speak to each one of you individually. I have to make certain everyone knows that it was not a violation of the sunshine. We had team meetings with each and every one of you to kind of update you before I showed this to you and give you an idea of where we're at. next slide, please. Our job was to look at the building, and we looked at it from a standpoint of renovation. Yeah, that was typically what our task was, and in so doing, we wanted to study it. So I'm going to show you the table of content of the overall report and show you the various steps that we went through. We looked at, obviously, the executive summary. We did an investigation of the methodology. We talk about that. We did a full historic context, a report on the actual physical building. Then I did a structural assessment, both from review of a structural report that was completed in 2021, as well as had my structural engineer come on board. We looked at ADA compliance of the existing structure and how you might address that. Mechanical, electrical, and plumbing, you probably are aware there's not much inside this building, so that didn't go there. Then we also looked at the exterior and interior assessment. From a historic renovation standpoint, the first two things you have to do is it's security and stabilization of the structure. So that's why you see why I did the interior-exterior reviews of it, and we did the structural assessment. That's not redoing floors. That's not doing light fixtures. That's securing the building so it's stable structurally, and security so people can't get in and violate the structure of the building. Next slide, please, Travis. This is our executive summary. Again, not to bore you with this, but this is what just kind of the breakdown of where the building's at, 81 Water Street, and what we were asked to do. Next one. Again, how we arrived at where we came to, the historical context, structural assessment, the various things, ADA compliance, and then data collection, the type of things we did. Next slide. If we were going to renovate this building, the first considerations, again, are stabilization of the structure. It's a structural component. You know, the building, you've got to save the building so it cannot go into further deterioration. So we looked at a lot of different things, major structural work, demolition thereof, rebuilding, roofing, those types of things. Then you get to the secondary considerations, which are kind of the niceties. It's HVAC, it's electrical work, it's the lighting, it's redoing the floors, painting the interiors, those types of, but none of that can occur until the first consideration is done. Fine. After careful consideration, and I've got a bunch of documentation behind this, I cannot, in clear conscience, as a professional architect, recommend this building remain. It's beyond, and I'm going to show this documentation momentarily. This building is beyond, about 16 years beyond salvage. It is probably one of the worst examples, and I've done some tough ones, that I've ever professionally been involved with. I want to share that with everyone from two standpoints. One is the condition of the building. The other is the cost of renovation of this structure. So, if you would, next slide. We generated this. This was just a strictly a generation. We are not recommending that you go back and build this. I had to have something to do an apples-to-apples comparison with regard to costing. I had to look at the existing structure and what that structure would cost to renovate. And then if I did something, and we did in conjunction, we met with Travis and Bree and discussed it. There was some discussion about having an open-air pavilion that might serve as a dock or something out behind. So I took and we recreated essentially the physical facade and the layout footprint of the existing structure so I could run square footage numbers and generate costing. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that. I'm not saying build this. I'm saying I need something to give you an apples-to-apples comparison. Next slide. In the actual physical structural assessment, I've gone back through the community trust monies back in 2008 or 2010, I believe you went into. At that point in time, there was a discussion about, I guess, the Maritime Museum was going to contribute funds on an annual basis to try to keep this building up to standard or at least try to manage it or maintain it. The building is in tough shape. The structural underpinnings of the building are the existing piles, the actual original piles. Many of them are rotted and washed completely off. But they did try to come back in and try to patch them back where I show a split piling. That doesn't even comply with the 21 report, structural report. That particular structural engineer, Michael Weber out of Panama City, recommended piles be driven 20 feet below the mud line. First of all, how do I get piles through the building, drive them 20 feet, and be able to keep the building intact? Well, you can't. The building is in poor shape. There'd be no way to do it to begin with. Logical thing to do would be move it, but the building won't stand and move. You can see the actual condition of the interior of the building. I've been inside the building 4 or 5 times. Second story column, that one actually, well, the reason I took that picture is one, it's tied at the bottom, what I call a spreader, but it's actually a big bow in that second story column right there. So it certainly is, the building has seen much better day. Next slide, please. After Hurricane Michael, you can see the image on the left where it peeled back, physically peeled back the roofing. That has set exposed. If you go to the second floor of this building, it's now a crown on the second floor. The exterior of the two story spaces are sinking. Interior spaces are set fixed, but there's physically a crown. One of the two-story columns has physically been cut off. It's hard to see, but underneath it, there's an iron bar that spreads between one column to the next to bear that one that's cut off. But the most interesting aspect of this building from a structural standpoint and from somebody that I've done a lot of restoration is how they built the second story. What you see on the column distributing a floor load through a spreader. Nowadays, but essentially the columns for the second story do not penetrate the floor to the first floor and go to grade. They're not piles. They are actually on a spreader and set over top of a wooden deck. Now, of course, what you have is not only that, but, you know, they're spreading the weight, but the floor decking is rotted out. And so those are settling as well. So with regard to that, next slide, please. You can see that's the second floor. You can see what's occurring on the first floor. You know, it illustrates floor damage coming out of there as well. That's illustrates on the extreme right is out over the water, looking east. That one in the middle is right there over the two-story and the area I think water tree is, and of course, the flat at the top is the typical second floor. I took it to kind of show the boat. The picture doesn't do it justice. As a purely selfish endeavor, we had in our contract to do as-built construction documents where teams of my people from my office come over ladders and physically measure the existing structure, and we generate new drawings of the existing structure. Because the building was in such poor shape, I hired a survey firm to do laser surveying to within a 1/16 of an inch of tolerance. I had them survey the building. Primarily, rather than us spending a week on it, the survey team was in and out in 4 hours. And we have all the data points necessary. But you can begin to see from this 3D survey how the building is falling apart. It's literally coming apart at the seams. What you see in the upper right-hand corner is you'll notice there's a big arrow with a tag on it that actually reflects, you know, one of A101. That's where that section cut is taken, and the direction of the arrow over the circle is the direction you're physically looking. So in this one to the left, you're physically looking back towards the water. You turn right around in the opposite direction to one on the right, you're looking back forward towards Water Street. This slide on the left is the area of the lean-to shed roof on Water Street. Falling completely apart. The one on the right is very similar to a slide on the previous one. Next slide, please, Thomas. Again, these again are cut sections from the three-dimensional lasered survey. Probably one of the most notable things is the one on the right. Section 6, the tag doesn't show reflected it very well up there, but one up there, but you can actually see the collapse on the southern side. And then you can also see down below section 7, the actual collapse of the front lean-to structure. The reason I took you through this was I looked at, from a restoration standpoint, what would it take to do what Michael Weber said do structurally? And you looked at it and said, okay, we would have to move the building inland. Right now, the state owns the bottomlands, about 60% of it. But guess what? I reached out to Brian Johnson of Ducky Johnson's, and they said, Brad, we'll only move the second story portion, which means you are on the hook for tearing off all the perimeter just to move the second story. But I don't think without doing that, you'd have to shore that part of the building up. You'd have as much lumber shoring that portion of the building up just to move it as you would to rebuild it. So we start balancing, we start trying to play games with cost. How do we do this? This, of course, is water, the current Water Street elevation and the south elevation. Next slide, please. To try to get a full view of this, I went back to 2008 at Google Maps. Or I shouldn't say I didn't. I reached out to a person in my office who knows all. I asked Isaac to help me with this. Isaac pulled up the 2008 Google Maps, the street view, and we were able to physically show what it looked like in 2008 versus now. And I don't think my laser pointer will work on that. It doesn't work real well. All right, so what you see here, you've got your structural connections here are all still very solid right here on this. But if you look over here, you'll see the entire portion here is already settled and is beginning to break away and fall. I wanted to show that. Next slide, please. And here's the 2008 view. Where's it at? Kind of see it. Kind of sort of. But then you can see where it is again. You can still see the structural underpinnings. You can see the roof intact in 2008. Whereas when you look at the new photograph to the right, you can see the exposed roof work. You see the collapsing of that area. This is probably the most telling. Build the building, the same square footage, brand new. I believe you're about $6 million. And that's the same thing you do, an open-air pavilion. Wide open, we use concrete piles. We drive them to 20-foot embeds. We create something that would then allow you to use for the city for whatever, you know, it might generate revenue, it might be a transfer space, it might be an educational space. Versus the renovation, which is almost $10.5 to $11 million. And in fact, most of what you see in the $11 million would be put in and torn back out. Trying to shore and salvage the two-story space to the point where it's obviously you pick that up and move it in. We do the same thing as we pull the building down to build new. We take that building down. We're going to have to have a crane with a long neck on it. Drive those piles 20 feet below the mud line or jet them and drive them the following 3 to 5 to consolidate everything below. So at the end of the day, I need direction from you all. I can go either way. Problem you have is working, I'm working with Dave here. You have $3.9 million for the entire stretch of Water Street, that section. So our thoughts, discussion with Dave, and we shared it with each of you individually, is that we generate drawings, work with the community, and generate drawings for whatever you want, and have that in a shovel-ready, what we call a shovel-ready package draw. But that that money, the $3.9 million, be spent on the waterfront project, and then you seek out other funding, whether it's a renovation or a build new. That's the decision you all have to make. But we're going to need direction so that we can finalize these drawings to keep it inside the terms of the grant. But my personal recommendation to you, again, first of all, next slide, please. Again, this is what we generated. Next slide. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the history of this building. At one time, there were four of these buildings, and they cut the three off to the north. So you can see it there in a 1940s photograph of what's there by the old bridge, and you can kind of see it, and that came out of our historic stuff. The building is not... And I wish that I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. The building is not an attractive building now. Wasn't then. It was an industrial warehouse. I'm not opposed to doing something in an industrial vein. But I believe we can do something for you all and the community. Inside the footprint of the existing structure, it will be an attractive addition to that section of the street. Then use and put some sort of educational exhibits inside to explain the importance of that building and the building's history in the waterfront district, and allow the community to use it for whatever you choose to use it for, whether it's a transition to a dock or if it's some sort of venue, a wedding venue, or you wish to put something else in it later on or have it to begin with, a bathroom or whatever. But I believe, and it could, in fact, whereas the building new with the exact same footprint right now we think is about $6 million, doesn't mean it has to be that same size. It could be a smaller venue. You know, if you all decide that, we will work with you to help you figure that out, which would not cost $6 million. You might get it down to four. And then put those on a shelf, have them shovel-ready, and seek other grants. Try to do something with that structure, because the current building is tough. It is really a tough structure right now. We look forward to hearing what you all have to say.
Thank you. Just one quick question from me, and then I will go to Commissioner George for her comments. I'm sorry, Commissioner Grove. What percentage of the 3.9 has been allocated for the Popham building?
Right now, we're working on our estimates for the dock work and the beautification of Water Street. But I've got to believe there's not going to be, just based on the prices we've been getting for work in the past couple of years, we're probably going to use that $3.9 million to build the docks and to beautify the streets. I don't think there'll be anything remaining, very little, for the Popham building, other than getting a shovel-ready set of plans on the shelf, looking for other grant possibilities to actually build the Popham building. So to your answer, I would say zero.
And there are grant opportunities for restoration or what have you? I know this an avenue that we'll have to take, but...
I met with DHR. I went to the Department of Historic Resources personally, and I asked, I set up the meeting, met with them to ask specifically, and I said for a couple of reasons. One, this building sits in a historic district. It's not been designated as historic, but it contributes. So I went to them and said, look, is there a possibility? You know, what would happen if we had to take this building down? It's tough. And they said, well, they looked at me and said, Brett, you wouldn't be eligible for grant funding. And I go, well, historic grant funding. And I said, well, I know that. That part I know. But right now, even with special categories, which is what people used to default to when they had bigger historic renovation projects, you were only entitled to get $500,000. Now they've jumped it to $1 million. To think that that building, if you wanted to try to restore that building, that you could politically garner $1 million a year through special categories is a reach. That's politically obligated money. And people in Miami are after it. People in Tampa are after it. People in Jacksonville are after it. You might do it for a couple years. I'm not going to say you couldn't. But all the while, the existing building continues to go into a state of disrepair and get worse. And the first little bit of money you'd get, it would take $1 million just to shore that building up. You're going to have to lift it in some manner if you try to save it. So some of the other communities we work with, too, generate drawings, and they'll put them on a shelf because then they never know exactly where grant funding's coming. Whether it's coming 850 money, whether it's coming from Hurricane Michael money, you know, long-term, you know, just that sort of deep water horizon money, those types of things. But the beauty of it is they've got that drawing, and their grant writers are looking to see if they can find something that fits that need. It may be a community need. It may be a waterfront community need. All of a sudden open you up to $2 or $3 million. And all of a sudden, guess who's got the drawing sitting on the shelf ready to go? Very little opportunity, very little effort. You immediately put that on the street.
And there are pieces of large timbers in that building that would be very interesting to bring out, memorialize the history of the building. Cascades Park in Tallahassee, we worked on that. Nice plaques giving the history. Somewhere along a new facility that said, this is what was here before. Here's some timbers from the from the area. There's a couple of really, from an engineering standpoint, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there that could be brought out and memorialized somehow. And Brett is, and I've talked about it, and I think with a team of people that talk about it and bring that history out, we could make a nice memorial to that particular building with a new structure.
All right, thank you. Sure. Commissioner Grove?
I have a lot of trouble losing this building. But at the same time, I don't know how we can afford to repair it and be responsible. I met with some people from Ducky Johnson about 6 months after the hurricane, and we went in the building, well, as much as we could.
Right.
And he went away and came back with a price that was pretty astronomical back then. I can only imagine, what, 5 years later and many storms later, the thought was they would have to take the building up by crane, put it on the ground, then pull up all the pilings, put down new pilings, and then put the building back on. And then it would be also taking the sides off. So in lieu of restoring the building, I would like to see us memorialize it, strongly memorialize it through information panels in a sensitive way, and then saving most of the lumber and even the metal to try and reuse it there or elsewhere, because I think it is an important building. And my concerns are, I know that we've had people in there, and I'm worried that people are going to get hurt in the building. Is there some way we can... We need to secure it so that people can't get in and get hurt. And it's going to be, sounds like it's going to be, needs to be secured for many years until we get the money.
I would recommend that. And I think there may be, depending on what the project funding overall cost, there may be potentially some funding for new fencing and signage,
yeah,
those types of things. You're absolutely correct. You know, to lift that building, they're talking about coming in, trying to jack it up and get it over, roll it off, and then come back. But you have to pull all those piles and put them
right
back.
And the crane rental alone is huge.
But again, I don't recommend you tear it down immediately.
Right.
And the reason being is, in talking to Josh and Scott, and I had this same problem at Cape Sampson, was what we thought was a great idea
because we had a contractor on site and we could demo it right then and there. They needed something to do, and we thought it was a grand solution. And then a year later, when we started with the new dock, DEP didn't even recognize that something had been there before. So if something comes back in, and Josh is probably a better person to speak to this than I, but recolonizes that area, then we have permitting issues down the road. So I would say give yourself a couple of years. Try to secure it as best you can for a couple of years and see if you can find grant funding to pursue it.
And we had this conversation on the phone as I also contacted DEP to see, this has been 5 years ago, to see if we would be able to rebuild it, especially if we picked it up and moved it. And the permitting in Pensacola said, you know, I can't tell you because I don't have specific plans.
Right.
I can tell you nobody would be allowed to do this. However, since you're the city, since it's a historic building, but you have seagrass there, so those are issues that could impact it. So the whole idea of maybe we wouldn't even be able to rebuild it.
Well, Commissioner, from, you know, from a practical standpoint, if you're out there with a demolition contractor, you're rebuilding the piers, you're taking down the fire station and the old Coast Guard building, you know, why not go ahead and take care of the popping building while you're there? Josh, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because if something else starts growing underneath there, you're starting at square one.
Yeah.
Leave the building alone. Secure it. If I can get in there, you know, just about anybody else could get in there too.
Yeah.
And that's something that we're going to really have to take care of and fence it, put signs up, keep people out of there.
And maybe we can use some of the money to do some like nice fencing that shows some possibilities for the future or some interpretation.
Right.
And I also wonder what are our obligations to the to what used to be the Waterfront Florida program or DCA. I mean, what the we've got $600,000 originally to buy it and turn it into a working waterfronts structure. So, what are our obligations to that original grant? Are there any obligations
to the Florida Communities Trust? I talked to FCT folks and they said that they would support us. You know, dependent, we just send them the plans, whatever we decide, and then they would support us on that. But there would be some requirements, and some of those requirements would be things like educational kiosks or educational educational component to it. So we just send those things to them and get their approval on it before we move forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Grove. Commissioner Duncan?
Thank you. And yes, I did have the opportunity to speak directly and have any all of my questions answered at that point. I do, unfortunately, the same position. It's a shame that it's in the condition that it's in, but I certainly think we need to preserve what we can preserve, secure it, get the plan in place. If there's any availability, any possibility to squeeze out of the beautification money, like I said, to maybe put some renderings on the outside of the fence with some ideas of what, you know, what we hope to come soon, that kind of thing, and secure it. Main thing is secure it.
Thank you, Commissioner Duncan. Commissioner Elliott?
Thank you. Enjoyed chatting with you gentlemen the other day about this. I am probably one of the few people here that has no memory of this building ever looking any different than it really did now. I think it's a shame that we aren't going to be able to save it. The thing that's the most wild to me was what Brett explained with the second floor not even really being attached. I think that it is astonishing that building is even there. So that's a testament of itself, of the grit of this town. But it does seem like it's time to take it down. It's time to let the past go. You know, death is a part of life, just as loss is a part of love, and we got to give that up here. The docks are the most important thing for Water Street. The city has a unique monopoly on owning most of our waterfront, and we have the ability now that we can get new docks built all along those. The Anders Pier there, you know, getting all of these docks rebuilt can be used for recreational purposes and for commercial purposes, thinking transient boaters coming up the intercoastal. We don't have a lot of dock space anymore for those people to come. That's revenue we could be making there. we're a very popular sports fishing destination. Look at places like the Keys or Tampa. They've got charter Captain Rose. You can get your picture taken, clean your fish, all that other kind of stuff. So I think whatever we do, the pavilion, not necessarily married to that idea 100%, but I like the idea and where it's going, because whatever is there, I feel like should be able to be utilized by that working waterfront, by captains, recreational boaters, and so on and so forth. So the pavilion aspect is a good idea in that sense, because, you know, you're walking down the piers, checking out Water Street downtown, stop, grab lunch.
Yeah, you have points of destination. That's what the
yeah.
Walking along these sidewalks and you're walking down the street and everything's nice. It's continuity and nice walkway there. There's points of destination. Oh, let's go over here and take a look at what used to be the top of the building. There's some memorialization of that building with plaques. That's the kind of stuff that I've learned. People are looking for things to go and see.
Yes.
That's be kind of one of the things that pull in Anders Pier. It's 250 feet or 230 feet long, and it's got a whole bunch of fingers out there, plenty of boats to pull in there. They come down the sidewalk right next door.
Precisely.
A little further and, you know, enjoy Water Street, enjoy Commerce Street.
And I think, you know, there needs to be, I think that we do need to have another workshop and get more community input on what kind of building should go there and what it should be used for. Because playing into the whole space, you know, the Seafood Festival happens down there every year. So just thinking about how whenever there's big festivals, or, you know, fishing tournaments, you know, start going out of here, stuff like that, how that'll all play in together, and kind of segue with the point of destination. I don't know if many people are familiar with it, but the Little Theater and the Theater of Macon, Georgia, they are putting that town on the map with world-class acts coming through there and playing. And we already have a lot of the destination. We don't have to work as hard as Macon to get people here. So I think, you know, looking at like Cascades Park, having somewhere that's outdoors, you know, maybe across the street, something like a band shell or something that could be utilized on that.
Cascades Park was great for Orlando to New Orleans. There's halfway there is Cascades. Come on down on a Tuesday night. We'll set up a show. There's no reason why they can't come up 98 and go, you know, go through Apalachicola on the way to Cascades Park.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, it just brings out the community and.
So, yeah, I'm a big fan. Thank you so much for everything you've done. I'll leave it there because I don't just want to keep spinning ideas for another hour.
All right, thank you. Commissioner George.
Okay. You know, Hurricane Michael was 6 years ago. We were awarded this grant 3 years ago. The Popham building has essentially been in the same condition throughout that period. I mean, we need to make a decision about the Popham building. We have $3.9 million to spend on a waterfront project. To me, it's insane to take the Popham building out of it if there's money to do something meaningful there, like towards a solution. It doesn't make sense to me to leave the Popham building unresolved and build sidewalks and put in lighting. That, to me, is a waste of money. If we have funds to do something now, I can't see putting up better fencing and crossing our fingers for 3 to 5 years for some offsite, you know, some chance that we might get grant funding. We've been very lucky getting historical grants the last few years. I don't think that gravy train's going to continue forever. You know, if another storm comes through here, you know, the Popham building is going to blow down Water Street. I think we need to revisit this completely and see what projects are essential. Like, I think the docks are an important project, but I think the Popham building is probably should be the number one priority in allocating funds from this grant. So that's, I mean, that's the big problem I have. This is being brought to us very late in the process, you know, 3 years into this grant award. I wish, you know, we would have been kept, I'm not saying this is your fault, but we haven't been kept up to speed about discussions that have been had about this. I just think we're going off on the wrong track here. And I said that in the call. I also, you know, would prefer for this building, for this area to be property to be used, you know, for, you know, waterfront applications, you know, instead of, you know, entertainment, you know, having a pavilion there. I don't think I'm not sure about that plan. Maybe that property isn't the place for a building anymore. I mean, if there's this concern that you pull stuff up and it's going to immediately being taken over by vegetation, it's like, should there be a building there? And knowing that, I mean, it's the city of Apalachicola going to be able to maintain a structure that's there on this precarious piece of property? I think all those things should be considered. You talked about the timbers within the building. I think that's something that, you know, needs to be a priority to salvage that wood. I mean, that kind of wood doesn't exist anymore, you know, so that could be used in a project there or, you know, elsewhere within the city. But, I mean, personally, I think we need to go back to the drawing board with this to see do we really want to have sidewalks and connectivity in a very what is already a very walkable city, or do we want to solve problems with money that we may never have again?
Thank you.
Thank you. We have run over in time. We do have another workshop immediately after, but I do want to open it up to the public to give the public an opportunity to make a comment if there are any public comments. Mr. Miller.
Bobby Miller. I live here in Apalachicola. And I have a lot of sentimental reasons to save that building. I worked there in 1970 in that very building. Our first race boat, when I was teaching school for the kids at school, for the students, was built in the, not the next building over, but the next building over. It was Roy Smith building. There were four of them at one time. The one on the north end got taken down first, and then the two in between this building and Roy Smith's building. Has a lot of history there, and I'm all about saving things. If there's a board left on the wall, let's try to save the house. That's my attitude. But Mel Livingston and at the time, Mayor Bagus and I went in that building, walked through it, and looked at it. Since that time, there's been even more damage here. That building wasn't built there because it was a good idea to build in that location. It was built there as a monetary thing. You have to be next to the water to unload the cotton. That's why those were built there. You didn't see the old-timers building their homes stuck out on the nose of a hurricane area like that. It just didn't do it. It doesn't make sense. If you lose those buildings, during a hurricane, if the water came up and flooded the building, they just went in there and washed the mud off the floor, started over the next year. They were structurally sound enough to do that. To rebuild that building at this point, to me, I'm afraid you're throwing good money after bad. First of all, you're building it right in the face of a hurricane and flood zone. You know that. You're trying to get away from a building up here that you call City Hall because of the very reason. To build anything down there, to me, would be a waste of our taxpayers' money, period. We have venues all over this town for people to get married. We have Lafayette Park up here, the most beautiful place in the world. It makes sense. It's up on a high bluff. It's not, you're not threatened as much here by hurricanes. The pier and everything, of course, we know is. But think long and hard about rebuilding this thing. I was hoping I would come to this meeting so we found somebody that'll take it down for the wood and they're going to re-salvage wood, take it away, make it go away, and we're going to put a marina there and tie it in with the park, the Andrews Park, Pier, whatever you call it. We're going to make a walk that comes all the way around. You don't even have any mud under that building to work with. The pilings are gone. They've been patched. I helped patch some of them 50 years ago. And it's just, please consider carefully what you're doing there. And before you waste any money putting something else back there, why would you do that in the face of a storm? Why would you waste the taxpayers' money anywhere in that area with anything other than something like possibly a boat basin built in there? Kevin Bagus wanted to take it down. He wanted to take every, but first he wanted to take the outcroppings off the main building. But he always wanted to save that arm that runs out to the river covered boat sheds to get more money. I think even that would be more of a maintenance nightmare than it's worth in the face of a storm. Tearing roofs off and the type of structure you'd have to put there, I'd say try to get rid of that thing, clean it up. It's an eyesore coming over that bridge to everybody that comes to town. And having boats docked in there would be, and you know, you could build a dock all the way around it if you wanted to have it for the public to walk around and ooh and ah on. That would be great. You know, you could run the docks from on Levin's side all the way up to the street. You'd have to run them up the street because that's where the water is now. And then across the face of it, back out, and then down to the next park down. But use some reasonable judgment on that before you start spending a lot of money on this. If they tell you they can build that building back for $10 million, the very first thing you're going to hear is, oh, well, we didn't realize that this mud, the pilings wouldn't have the in other words, they would have to use bigger diameter pilings than they realize. You're going to run into cost overruns over and over and over on anything you do down there, I promise you. And I don't have anything against architects and engineers, but they always have to make sure there's some, you know, they're not doing this for the health. They're doing it for a monetary reason. So they're going to, whatever makes for monetary return on their recommendation, you have to keep that in mind. With all due respect to the architects and engineers, it is a business. The city of Apalachicola is also a business. The difference is they're using our money to pay you. Consider everything carefully. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Webb, did you have a comment?
They came in and we took a look at that building 2 years ago. And this was a concept. Concept that we thought would benefit this fishing village is our culture. I'm not saying if you're going to build a building, consider what you're going to do in it. Yes, there is deep horizon funding. We thought it would become an educational center with exhibits and such things, but use it as a job creation center as well on our working waterfront.
All right. Thank you. Are there any other comments? Time is growing near. If there are no other public comments, you want to make a comment? Okay. All right. Thank you. So what I would recommend at this point, how soon do you need directions? I will be recommending probably a workshop so that we can move, talk about this in a little more depth. How soon do you need recommendations or directions from the board?
Well, as soon as you can give it to us. But again, I understand the idea of a workshop, and I think that's an important community step.
Okay.
So I have no problem waiting with that. My concern is we have timelines within the grant we're trying to comply with. So with regard to that, I will defer to Dave.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, a workshop would be great at ASAP, you know, if possible, maybe sometime later this month. Prep could look at maybe some of the ideas you have, more concepts.
I would be happy to.
You know,
okay.
December 2025 deadline with our grant money. So the timber docks, the beautification of the streets, those are now, they're not long construction projects. And we broke those things up so that a contractor that did the roadway work is not the contractor that is doing the dock work. You will get a marine contractor that knows what he's doing out there in the water, a regular roadway constructor to do the work on the streets. The way we're planning it is designing something and putting it on the shelf and looking for additional pop-up building.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Grove? Okay. All right, so we will contemplate a date for a workshop, and we will get back with you on that. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. If there are no other comments at this point, I would ask for a motion to adjourn the workshop for the Poppin Building.
I so move.
I have a motion by Commissioner Elliott. May I have a second? May I have a second to adjourn?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Duncan. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Meeting.